Hi, I'm Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa, and you're listening to Food Fridays with Leonard Lopate on WNYC and WNYC.org.
As the weather starts to turn cooler, some people begin thinking about canning and pickling to preserve the last of the summer's fruits and vegetables. But for those of us who have never tried it, pickling can seem a bit tricky and complicated. So we've invited Jack Bishop to give us a pickling primer. He's the editorial director of America's Test Kitchen, which publishes the DIY cookbook, and I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our Food Friday series. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Leonard. Great to be back.
And if you have a pickling question, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. So, Jack, how important is it to sterilize the jar you're using for pickling?
It's really important. The dishwasher will do a great job if you've got a dishwasher. Of course, our grandparents probably were doing it with hot, soapy water. But a clean jar, clean hands, and clean tools is really important. Obviously, what you're trying to do is to prevent the growth of any bacteria or mold while you are pickling.
Must you use a mason jar?
You don't have to use a mason jar. They are nice if you are going to process the pickles. So there are lots of different types of pickles and lots of different ways to make them last long or really long, depending on what you're going to do. And processing is I certainly remember my grandmother had these big pots with these tongs where you would lower the mason jars into the boiling water. And that's really to make shelf-stable pickles or preserves, jellies, jams. And you are basically boiling the sealed jars for a specific period of time, depending on the recipe, so that they will then be probably good for at least a year, if not longer, if you store them in a cool pantry. But not all pickles really need to be made that way. You can make quick pickles and sort of get rid of that whole process, or you can do the old-fashioned sort of fermentation route. If you want to make, for instance, a sour dill pickle, and you don't need to be processing them and canning them per se.
Are there certain ingredients that are basic to every kind of pickle?
Pretty much every pickle recipe is going to have vinegar and salt. It's pretty hard to imagine making a pickle without those ingredients. The salt is drawing moisture out of the pickle. If you want to turn a cucumber into a pickle, cucumber is fairly soft, and if you really want it to have that kind of crunch of a really good pickle, the salt is a key part of that. The vinegar gives it that tang, and the vinegar is also very important as a preservative. One of the key things when you're doing any pickling or preserving is to understand what the acidity level is. And the more acidic the environment is, the safer it's likely to be. And so the vinegar is a really key ingredient in pickles in terms of keeping nasty bugs at bay.
Well, some pickles are more sour than others. Does that mean there's more vinegar in them?
No, the old-fashioned pickles like you would get on the Lower East Side really probably had little or no vinegar in. They probably had a little bit of vinegar in at the very beginning until the natural fermentation process took over. And so the recipe that we have for sourdough pickles has a little bit of vinegar, and it's really there for the first day or two before the natural fermentation process gets going. And in terms of the intensity and the sourness of the flavor, it's really how long that fermentation process allows it to go on. And that our recipe, we cover the whole pickles with a brine that is made with water and salt and a little bit of vinegar. And the pickles, the Kirby cucumbers, the pickling cucumbers, have been packed into a crock or a mason jar. And then we cover the top with parchment paper and put a little glass ramekin on. What that's doing is keeping the pickles submerged in the brine, because any parts that are above the brine can get moldy. And then we cover it with a piece of cheesecloth and a rubber band, and it's breathing, basically, and it's naturally fermenting. And we will leave it out for roughly 10 days and then start tasting them. And if we want it even more sort of sour, we let them go longer. And at the point where we feel like the pickles have the right flavor and texture, you put them in the refrigerator, which greatly slows down the fermentation process so that you don't continue to get an increasingly sour pickle.
Now, you said you use Kirby cucumbers. They come into season during the summer. Are they still available in the produce section or in green markets now?
Yes, they are. There's still some local ones. I know my local farm out on Long Island, I was actually picking Kirby cucumbers last weekend. I don't think we have a whole lot of time for local cucumbers, a couple of weeks at best. Once we get some frost and freezes, the local cucumbers, the supply will dry up, and then we'll be getting them in supermarkets from other parts of the country.
Well, Kirby's have thin skins. Does that make them better for pickling?
Yes, and they also they have fewer seeds. So that's nice. The thinner skins, which allows the brine and the fermentation to really happen more quickly. Their size is right. I mean, you can take a whole one out of the jar and eat it, you know, with a regular American cucumber. Obviously, you'd really have to love pickles to eat a whole one of those. That and the fact that it's much larger, and so the ratio of sort of salt and sour flavor to cucumber flavor wouldn't be as appealing it is in the diminutive Kirby's.
Why does the garlic sometimes turn blue during the fermentation process?
That can happen with the acidity. And so pH levels can sometimes cause blue with garlic, and it can happen in other recipes. And so, that's a sign that something probably has not gone right, and you want to be starting over again. Anything that's, in general, with the exception of blueberries, blue food is not a good thing.
Should you pack the pickles fairly loosely in the jar? Can you put them in too tightly?
You want to put them in fairly tightly, but leave enough room for the brine. And also, when you pack them, you want to be putting the other flavoring ingredients. And so, you know, that's where you would put the fresh dill, for instance. That's where you put the garlic, dill seeds. We love to put whole peppercorns. And so what you want to do is pack them fairly loosely so that you can still get the dill or the garlic between each pickle, and that there's enough room for the brine. But you do want the pickles to be tightly enough in there so that they won't bob up, and that, you know, if they're sort of properly packed, they're going to sort of stay there below the surface of the brine. And if you just put two cucumbers in a huge crock, they're going to want to float right to the top, and there's more chance that they're going to get exposed to the air, and you're going to get some mold growing on them.
Does some of the brine evaporate during the pickling process?
Yes, it's always a good idea. In all of our recipes, we make more brine than we're going to need the first day. And we tell people to save the extra brine in the refrigerator and to be checking, take the cheesecloth off, see what's going on, make sure you don't see any mold and that the pickles are still submerged. And as the brine evaporates, because that cheesecloth is permeable, which is the secret to using the cheesecloth, obviously the brine is also going to be evaporating, and you can use the leftover brine to supplement. And again, make sure that there should be a half inch extra brine above the top of the pickles.
My guest is Jack Bishop, who is the editorial director of America's Test Kitchen. It publishes the DIY Cookbook, which has a number of recipes for pickles, including bread and butter pickles. They're totally different from their dill cousins, aren't they? They use sugar.
They do, and the method is very different. So if you're making a sour dill, you're committing to at least 10 weeks. It's this old-fashioned technique where you've got a crock and a piece of cheesecloth covering it. A bread and butter pickle is what I would call a starter pickle. For somebody who's never tried to make a homemade pickle, it's probably a great place to begin. You are making a vinegar, sugar, water solution, adding the mustard seeds, celery seeds, the turmeric, which is what gives the bread and butter pickles their distinctive yellow coloring. And then you are adding sliced pickling cucumbers that have been salted. And we don't want to cook them too long. If you actually were to cook them in that hot brine, they'd be very mushy. So you really just basically are adding the sliced vegetables, and that you can include some onion or bell pepper along with the cucumbers, to the hot mixture, transferring it to jars, and then mason jars is really perfect for this, and either putting them in the refrigerator and eating them relatively quickly, meaning in a couple weeks up to maybe 2 months, or processing them in a water bath if you want them to be shelf-stable and last for a year or longer.
Now, a caller wants to know about how to pickle jalapeno peppers. You don't have that in your book. Do you simply follow another kind of pickling recipe when you have decided to pickle something different?
I would treat the jalapenos much like the bread and butter pickles, in the sense that if you're going to make sliced jalapeno pickles rather than whole, salt them to get some of the excess moisture out. Make a vinegar, sugar, water, seasoning, brine. Add the sliced salted jalapenos to it, and then put it into mason jars and either process it or get it into the refrigerator where it will stay good for many weeks.
Should I assume that you get rid of the seeds first and also that white stuff inside that provides so much of the heat?
I would not get rid of them. If I'm going to make them, I want them to be pretty spicy. And so most people don't know that the heat in any chili pepper, including a jalapeno, is mostly in what's called the white ribs, that fleshy material that holds the seeds, then the seeds, and then the flesh itself. And so if you want a relatively mild flavor, of course, get rid of the seeds and the ribs, the fleshy white material. But if you want them to pack, you know, some heat, keep that in there and simply slice them into thick rings crosswise, salt them for about an hour or so to draw off some of the moisture, and then put them into a brine. And you can throw other seasonings into that brine. And it's a great way to make homemade pickled jalapenos.
Another listener wants to know whether any kind of cucumber can be pickled. He was interested in Persian cucumbers that he uses in tzatziki.
Persian cucumbers are relatively meaty cucumbers in the sense they're not lots of seeds and lots of water. And I think that and the size of the cucumbers are the two big issues. And so if you can get relatively small Persian cucumbers, and so I'm talking maybe 3-4 inches long rather than an 8 or 10 inch long cucumber. And any sort of meaty cucumber like a Persian will be totally fine.
Another listener asks about fermenting dilly beans, which I don't know if it's a he or she, tried twice. Both times they turned moldy on top, and he or she had to throw it away. Finally ended up canning them. Why did they turn moldy, this person asked. First time, a few beans had floated to the top. The second time she tried, nothing was on top, but the water turned moldy anyway.
Well, anytime you are fermenting something and that vegetable or that fruit floats to the top and is exposed to the air, it's going to get moldy. And so that trick that I explained earlier of putting a piece of parchment paper and then a small ramekin or bowl on top of the crock or the jar to submerge whatever is being pickled is one that you would certainly want to use with the dilly beans. In terms of the second time, I'm not so sure. We really don't ferment the dilly beans. We use something more like the bread and butter pickle method that I described, where we're making a hot brine and then letting them cure in the refrigerator rather than out at room temperature. The room temperature old-fashioned fermentation is great when you really want a sour flavor. But with the dilly beans, you're really looking for that sour flavor to come from vinegar, and putting them in the refrigerator is going to keep that mold at bay, and you can get a great crunch and a great dilly bean that way.
And in the DIY cookbook, you have a dilly bean recipe along with pickle relish, pickled beets, jardiniera, sauerkraut, kimchi, and pickled watermelon rind. Any kind of watermelon okay?
Any kind of watermelon. The most important thing is to not only remove the flesh and to eat the flesh, but to peel the skin. It's pretty tough. And we think the pickles are better in this case when you peel the rind. And we do a sort of Asian treatment in terms of flavoring the brine with cardamom pods, a little lemongrass, some sliced fresh ginger. And we put all of that in a piece of cheesecloth, that we steep in our brine. And, you know, and the brine is simply salt and water, and then pour that over the chunks of peeled watermelon rind. And that can go into the refrigerator. It takes about 10 days for them to get properly pickled, but it's really a very, very simple way to use something up that you'd probably be throwing out anyway.
And where would you use those watermelon pickles? I mean, would you use them on a sandwich, or are they just to be eaten by themselves?
You know, they can be great as part of a picnic spread with, you know, fried chicken and serve them on their own. You can chop them up and put them, you know, on sausages or hot dogs. You know, we like to make the pickles 1.5-inch chunks, 2-inch chunks, fairly big chunks. But obviously, if you dice it up, you can then sort of do some make salsas and relishes and other things out of the pickles. Or just put them out with cornbread and fried chicken, and you've got a great Southern-style kind of taste of summer at any time of the year.
And we have the recipe for watermelon pickles on our show page at WNYC.org. And we invite our listeners to pickle with us for the first month of Food Fridays. We'll be making pickles for the first-time picklers. We have posted 3 recipes for pickles on our show page, and you can also watch a video about pickling. If you're already a pickling pro, get creative and show us what you've got. Once your pickles are ready, take a picture, post it to Instagram, and tag it Lopate Pickles. And Jack, I thank you again for being on our show. Jack Bishop is the editorial director of America's Test Kitchen, and they publish DIY, do it yourself, can it, cure it, churn it, brew it, 100-plus foolproof kitchen projects for the adventurous home cook. Jack, I have to tell you, I have not bought mustard in the last year because your recipe for mustard is just so much better than anything I can get in the store.
Oh, Leonard, thank you. Thank you. And I really hope all the listeners enjoy pickling. You know, it's one of these lost arts that's just not that complicated. And when you do it yourself, not only is it fun, but it tastes better.
Thank you again. We'll speak to you soon.
All right. Bye, Leonard.